Hi, glad you all are here. I'm going to spend a little bit of time at the beginning of this session to provide an overview of some of the issues that impact young worker health and safety. And I put this together with my partner in crime, Mary Miller. We coordinate the APHA's Young Worker Health and Safety Network. And I have no relationships to disclose. And I want to say right up front that I used one of the sources that I used to put this together was a recent publication of the results of a symposia that was funded by NIOSH, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more later. But in particular, I used articles by Don Castillo, Tish Davis, and Beatrice Bowden, and the recommendations written up by Carol Renyon, John Luco, and Kimberly Rauscher. And then I also have used some graphs from the NIOSH Young Worker Topic webpage, so that's why I've provided these websites here. So there are close to 18 million young people under the age of 24 working in the United States, which represents about 13% of the workforce. 1.4 million of these are 16 and 17-year-olds, but we know that even in these hard economic times, many teenagers do some kind of work before they graduate from high school. And 15 to 17-year-olds continue to work primarily in the hospitality and retail trade, something like 70% of young people are 15 to 17-year-olds, and the largest portion of those are working in restaurant and food service. The number of 15 and 17-year-olds who are employed, however, it has, as you can see from this graph, really decreased since many of us started doing this work in the late 90s. When we first were doing this, or around 2000, 35% of 16 and 17-year-olds were working at any given moment, and by 2009, it's down to 19%. So that's a significant change. And those rates have decreased, as you can see, for all young workers up to the age of 24, but less so for the oldest workers. So the good news is that the absolute number of injuries among young workers has actually gone down. I don't know what portion of that we can claim from the activities that we've done, but it's been 20 years of good work across the country. The bad news is, or for example, that 27,000 we used to say 77,000 when we first started in the late 1990s. But the bad news is that young workers are still being injured at something like two times the rate of adult workers or workers age 25 and up. So you can see both for the youngest workers who have a rate of 4.6 injuries per 100 full-time employed FTEs, and 5.0 for injuries for those under 25, which is almost twice that of that for adult workers. And the highest rates are for 18, are experienced by 18 and 19-year-olds, and they're basically coming out of all the protections. They're not in high school anymore. They're not protected by the child labor laws, and yet still have many of the same characteristics and things that they're facing as young workers. So in addition to the numbers themselves decreasing, the rates have also decreased, at least for the youngest workers, 15 to 17-year-olds, you can see from this. And fatality rates have also gone down, again, at least for the youngest workers, but as you can see from this, not necessarily for the oldest young workers, so those 20 to 24. So again, these trends of decreasing injury numbers, but not necessarily among the older young workers, have really led NIOSH and many of us working in this area to start to want to pay attention to this age group, who are many more of whom are working, but again, as I said, are maybe experiencing the first job and all the hazards that come along with that. So I want to just take a minute to talk a little bit about some of the things that have happened at the national level, and starting with the things that have changed on the regulatory arena. One of the biggest changes was that in 2010, there were some of the most sweeping changes to the child labor laws since they were established in the 1930s, and many of these changes were in response to recommendations by NIOSH and to other others of us in the room here. Unfortunately, a similar effort to make changes to the child labor laws that affect kids working in agriculture were unsuccessful and were basically killed by the political process and by, I think the Farm Bureau was a big player, so the employer groups who fought back and actually used misinformation to get small family farmers to be fearful of what these changes were going to represent. There have also been changes at the state level. States can have their own child labor laws, and I think with the exception of Massachusetts, these have mostly been loosening, creating fewer protections for young workers in those states, but in Massachusetts, they actually managed to strengthen their child labor laws, I think about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. NIOSH has really, throughout all of this, played a lead role in promoting young worker health and safety, both collecting data and funding research, funding surveillance research, especially in Massachusetts, which you'll hear about later in the presentations. But they've had a number of initiatives I want to just kind of briefly highlight for people. I also want to mention there is this Federal Network for Young Worker Safety and Health, which is a network of government agencies. We're always pushing for more coordination among the federal agencies. It hasn't yet really played out to help us with coordination of policy level issues, but there's potential there. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the states and how that has been coordinated, loosely coordinated, or not coordinated, but information sharing through the Young Worker Safety Resource Center. So starting with the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety, this was established by NIOSH in 1997, and the center serves as a liaison between public agencies, NGOs, and the farming community. And some of the key enduring projects that they have accomplished or that are still used now by folks around the country are their North American Guidelines for Children's Agricultural Tasks, Safety Guidelines for Hired Adolescent Farm Workers, and other materials that are really focused on family farms where youth have no regulatory protections at all. And one of their most recent things is a new website for farm parents that provides information to parents about and guidance on, I think it's similar, I actually didn't have a chance to go check it out, but it provides guidance on children's work and play and what's appropriate for them. So that's a continuing initiative that's going on, funded by NIOSH. A second major initiative was the symposia that I mentioned earlier. These were funded by NIOSH and by the Ontario Neurotrauma Foundation up in Canada and coordinated by the University of North Carolina Injury Prevention Research Center and the Laurentian University Center for Research and Human Development. And these meetings, which involve both practitioners and researchers from a variety of different fields, from both occupational safety and health as well as adolescent health and adolescent development, have resulted in some really nice overview articles that have all been put together in a publication, and they also have developed a set of recommendations, policy and research recommendations, which I'll share a little bit about later. A third important initiative that's more recent that NIOSH has started is its own initiative to promote the integration of occupational safety and health skills into life and work skills training across the spectrum. So starting from foundational skills at the middle and high school level to more job-specific skills at the apprenticeship and community college level or post-secondary level. And again, sort of reflecting the NIOSH move towards really including young adults in prevention efforts targeting young workers. And one key piece of this effort that sort of predates the initiative, but they really integrated in, is the Youth at Work Talking Safety curriculum, which is addresses these foundational skills. And so some of the things that NIOSH has done, they're currently in the process of revising it. Many of you may be familiar with this curriculum. That should be available soon. They've also provided funding to 4 different states to explore truly institutionalizing this training in school settings, so in Oregon, New York, California, and Oklahoma. So those projects are ongoing at the moment. And they are also in the process of exploring, it's sort of in response to teachers and educators' requests as well as employers, exploring establishing some kind of national, sorry, it just says OSHA, but it should be Occupational Safety and Health Assessment and certificate. So not the OSHA 10, but something that would certificate knowledge more at the foundational level, because working with educators, that's really what they're looking for, and that will get them to use the curriculum with their students. And then finally, so this is actually funded not by NIOSH, but the Young Worker Safety Resource Center was funded by two rounds of a Susan B. Harwood Capacity Building Grant, and it was coordinated by our organization, the Labor Occupational Health Program, and by Chris Myra here at the Education Development Center in Massachusetts. And although the focus of the grant, being a Harwood grant, was to train young workers, the approach was to actually work with a state team, or at least a partnership of key agencies from each state, and to support working with them to support development of a structure for ongoing training of educators on this curriculum in their state. And over the course of the two grant cycles, we were able to develop state-specific curricula, which eventually became this national curricula for NIOSH, and to work with 18 different states and their state partners. But we were also able to bring them together on an annual basis. And this approach was really based on successes with state partnerships in California and Massachusetts and a number of other Northeast states. So successes in tackling young worker injury and illness at the state level. And these are the kind of agencies that in different states have taken a lead in promoting young worker health and safety. So although we focused on training using that funding mechanism, we were able to share about a lot of different kinds of resources and strategies kind of across the spectrum. So things like really trying to make a change in the workplace itself, both through enforcement and education of employers, expanding beyond training in the schools to develop peer leadership programs and find ways to integrate youth voice into the projects through poster and video contests, doing work with educators not only around curriculum but developing tools to help create safe placements when they're putting kids out in the workplace, or coming together and putting three states got together to develop an OSHA 10 that was specifically for young workers. You'll hear a little bit more about outreach to healthcare providers in a few minutes, but many of the states have done work in those arenas. And then a lot of states have started promoting May as Safe Jobs for Youth Month through, again, poster contests, press release, press conferences. And now I'm finally to the national agenda, and I'm almost out of time. 2 seconds. So, which brings us to the fact that there really is still a strong need for work on this issue, and most of the work that we do is out at the state level, but we really need coordinated support through these kinds of policy changes at the federal level, as well as research, and we'll talk more later at the end of the session. All right, thanks.